Our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson, especially verse 18. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. Before we get into this, one caution. We do not want to, as with any other passage in Scripture, we do not want to spiritualize the whole thing, which means to let go of the literal, this world really happening fulfillments of the words. Because Jesus really did heal the deaf, heal the blind. The lame walked and leapt for joy. He raised the dead. These things actually happened. In fact, when John sent to Jesus and asked, "Are you the one?" Jesus sent back, beginning to quote portions of the Old Testament passages that said, the deaf will hear, the blind will see, the lame walk, the dead will be raised, and the poor will have the gospel preached to them. So the fulfillment. But prophecies are not single strand. They get much more complicated than that because portions of the prophecy spin out into all different portions of life. So that I can say, yesterday I saw the fulfillment of this prophecy in part. And you ask, what? Where? How'd that happen? Well, my wife and I went up to Elgin to take part in a monthly Northern Illinois deaf worship. And so in that deaf worship, it was done with sign language. And the deaf had their hands proclaiming the good news about Jesus Christ and his love and his cross and his resurrection. And now you've seen that with your own eyes too. But a week or so ago, we were also visiting with some pastors who work with the deaf, and the discussion turned to certain particular signs and how they are altered and changed, which sign language does real easily. And one of the signs here, hand by the ear, but then you can have a change to that sign, and it goes like this, to hear. What's that mean? To hear with the heart. And so the sign is simply moved. Or to see. And then you can change that sign as well, right? To see with the heart. There's a French sign like this, which is to grasp, to get it. And you can say, to get it. Or you can shift the place of that sign down to the heart. To get it, to understand, to grasp the Word of God. That's an important distinction to understand, easily visible in sign language. But it's part of the Old Testament because, hey, it's Isaiah, another passage in Isaiah where it says that they should see and see and yet not see, hear and yet not understand. In fact, that's Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah's call into the ministry of being a prophet. So the idea is very central. Very important also in our day because we happen to be in a world and around us are a lot of people who will not see, will not hear, will not understand because they are determined not to see or hear or understand. And you go and you tell them about Jesus Christ, and you find out that they are deliberately not understanding, deliberately not getting it. You say, why is that? In part, we don't know. But does that change the fact that we are sent out? Or does that change the message? Or are we told to change the message so that it will be easier for them so that it will not be quite so hard, because this talking about a cross and about Jesus bleeding and dying and laid in the tomb is offensive. This is the message that we are sent out to tell people about. Which then means that there are conflicts. There are places where there's opposition. And Christians with their message are not received, are actually resented and hated. Again, yesterday around the nation, there were a lot of Missouri Synod folks. We got pictures of one of them that we know standing outside a Planned Parenthood clinic. She was holding a sign that says, "We love you and your baby." And that would be treated as a hateful thing to say. Why? Why the message of love is received as a hateful thing? Again, we do not know. Except that there is seeing and seeing and not seeing, hearing and hearing and not hearing. And yet we are sent. It's the same as in Jesus' day, isn't it? As he was preaching the gospel, what happened in the gospel lesson? The Pharisees coming by, and Jesus is preaching the gospel of life and telling how God has sent his Son into the world to redeem the world so that the lost may have life, and those who have sinned and those who have wandered off from God are invited and welcomed back into the family of God. And all the Pharisees can see is, why are your disciples eating with unwashed hands? We've got a tradition. The elders set this down. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to do the other thing to be the people of God. Why? Tradition of the elders? Get back to the Word of God. The Word of a God who tells you that you are loved and redeemed and forgiven and your sins are washed away. And Jesus confronts them. But as all of this is going on, the disciples are looking around saying, what's all this all about? What does Jesus tell them? In the context, what does Jesus tell them? He says, lift up your eyes and look around. See that the fields are white for the harvest. Let's connect those things. A world that so often refuses to hear the message of salvation and the Scripture and the Word of God and the love of God and fields white for the harvest. How can those things go together? Well, very simply, when you go for a while without hearing of the love of God, there's an emptiness inside. Think about this. What if from this day on, never again for the rest of your life would you hear about Jesus? Would that leave a gap? I think so. Or later in the year, we get to Christmas time, and now for this Christmas, there's absolutely no mention of Jesus. No mention of Bethlehem, the manger, the angels, the shepherds, none of that. And it's all, go out and shop, because that's what you're supposed to do. And that's the sum total of it all. How long would it be in our nation before people said, where's the real business of Christmas? We miss this story. When the gospel is not there, when the message of salvation is not there, there becomes more and more through the months and years a deep-seated hunger. And the reason for that is because rules and traditions of elders, like the Pharisees were talking about, they don't fill, they don't satisfy, they don't fulfill, they don't give a knowledge of your soul being fed. They leave you empty. Rules and regulations. That's not what Christianity is about. Again, sign language. See and yet not see. Seeing with the heart, hearing with the heart. There's another sign. It's a sign for hunger. The sign for hunger goes down from the mouth down into, why, the same spot as those other signs end up getting signed. It's a deep hunger inside that we're talking about. And so there is a hunger. And then there's a hunger. A hunger in the soul. A hunger that can only be satisfied by one thing. And that is the message of salvation. Jesus and his love and his cross and his empty tomb. Without that, we have nothing. Bring in one more idea in all of this. Seen signs and I've read ads that talk about our nation needs the Ten Commandments. And we have to have the Ten Commandments in order to save our nation. No. The Ten Commandments never saved anybody. The Ten Commandments never saved a nation. Because it's not commandments. Again, it is the love of Jesus Christ. The Ten Commandments can tell you what to do, but they can't give you the power to do it. The Ten Commandments will order you to live a certain way, and they will leave you in despair because you have not fulfilled them. Again and again and again, the same message. It is only the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ that fulfills. The gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ is that word from God, that word from heaven that cuts right through everything. Cuts right through everything down so deep inside that, why, hearing the words of a book, what book would that be? Well, that would be the Bible. What words would they be hearing? The words about Jesus Christ and his love. Because the words about Jesus Christ and his love will penetrate so deeply into the soul that even the deaf will hear those words. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. An amazing thing to see. That resurrection of Jesus Christ cuts through all of the darkness and gloom so much that even the blind see. And going on, the meek obtaining fresh joy. Fresh joy in the Lord? What a remarkable thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a message that when spoken into our world, not only do the dead rise, when Jesus stands outside, for example, the tomb of Lazarus and says, Lazarus, come forth, but the dead inside, the dead within the soul, rise and live within the soul. It's an amazing, remarkable thing that we have to carry with us. So, this is a basic statement of the mission of any and every congregation. Basic statement. Find someone who does not know and tell them. Find a group that has not heard and reach out to them. And now the The mission of this sermon is to connect some things and explain to you why this should be exciting to you. Because there's two sides to the whole thing. Two sides to it. It has to do with the Word of God, gospel of salvation, reaching out into the world, and it is the message of life in Jesus Christ, and it goes into the whole world. It is for every nation, people, tribe, and language. Oh, and language. So we rejoice and we celebrate when the people of another language get to hear the same message of salvation, because it is the same message of life. It is the same gospel from language to language all over the planet. By the way, sign language is special in one sense, because I can take a word from American Sign Language, and I could be in a foreign country, no matter how different the language is, and I can sign. I can sign C, and they will understand. I can sign the variations on C, look over the field, or examine. They will understand. So there is a going from nation to nation that is possible in that language that isn't possible in any other language. To the extent that there are two pastors for the deaf up in Wisconsin who got an invitation to go to Ghana in Africa, and they brought sign language with them and the signs of the people there in their sign language, and they were able to communicate much more easily than me trying to learn Setswana or Zulu over in Africa. It's natural. And having seen what was done, then they were invited to go to another country and to bring the message of salvation that actually, strangely enough, got broadcast on television there, so that people over in India also got to hear the same message conveyed in a different way. But every nation, people, tribe, and language, and yet there are two sides to this. Notice that the plan in the Old Testament never did include, or never did not include, the Gentiles. It was always the plan of God from Abraham on forward that in your seed all nations will be blessed. Always the plan that the gospel should be for all nations and reach into every language. And yet there are two sides to this. I keep saying that. Why do I keep saying that? The whole purpose of the church is to be a part of the whole business of the gospel reaching every nation, every language, and there are two sides to this. Okay, so what are the two sides? The two sides are, on the one hand, on the other. On the other hand, there is reaching out with the gospel to share the message of salvation to those around us. But on the one hand, turn those backwards, on the one hand, there is the being reached. And think of what an amazing wonder it is that God has chosen to speak in our language. So we didn't have to learn Hebrew to understand what these things mean. God comes to us in our language. Oh. Well, that changes things. That makes it really a wondrous and enjoyable thing to be part of it all, because here's the riddle. When you tell somebody the message of salvation, forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, when you tell somebody else that message, who's the first person to hear that message? Okay, here's the answer. You are. Because of the short distance between your mouth and your ears. So you get to hear the message of salvation and how sweet it is to hear that your sins are forgiven. You have life in Jesus Christ. You have the promises of God. When the pastor stands up in front of the congregation and speaks the absolution and tells everybody that their sins are forgiven, guess who gets to be the first one to hear that message? That's me. And I think that's really cool because I get to be a part of the receiving the same message. And for me, do I love to hear that my sins are forgiven? Yes. So that's why I'll tell everybody else over and over and over again because I love to hear it. Who do you think I'm preaching to when I tell about sins forgiven and a Christ who is there for even the worst of sinners? You know, out of all of the sinners in this room, the one I know most intimately and know the depth of his sin and know how far from God his heart can be, know for a fact it would be again me. Luther said, when you go to preach, set your old Adam down in the first pew and preach to him. And if you touch him, you'll touch everybody else. So we share the message of love in Jesus Christ. And so for parents, when you teach your children how to say their bedtime prayers, you get to hear those prayers. You get to pray those prayers too. When you open up your Bible or a Bible storybook and you read to your children about the love of God, guess who gets to hear about the love of God? You do. Don't ever forget that part because it's part of what makes Christianity the sweetest thing in the whole world. And have you not seen, have you not experienced it? Why, the last few weeks, what have we been doing here? We've been sharing the love of God. We've been giving away shoes to the poor in our community. We've been telling of the love of a God who cares for and holds us in his hands, who sees our needs and answers. And as we've been doing that and sharing the love of God with other people, guess who's gotten to experience that love of God? Well, that would be us. And hasn't it been sweet? Again, that is what makes Christianity the sweetest thing in the whole world. In Jesus' name.